Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager with the Fireside Chat number. Number. The number is, she's cracking up, and I am looking at you trying to say what number it is.
I'm going to say
the source of all of my information did not know the number. Wow. Let me guess. 206.
207.
207? Not bad. Which, by the way, reminds me periodically to tell you that if you just pick random numbers, 36, 114, whatever it might be, you will find something very meaningful, both in my opening comments and in my answers to questions that people send in. These are often, or sometimes, they're about events happening at the moment, but even then, what I have to say is not just relevant to the moment. So have a good time and binge on Fireside Chats and send them to friends. It's very important that people get these ideas because they don't get these ideas elsewhere. Where are they going to hear what you hear on the Fireside Chat? And think about it. This is the whole dilemma, by the way, that people who share my values, we hear, we study under, and we watch people and read people with different opinions. We can't help it, even if we don't want to. We just do. We're inundated. But those who have opposite views do not watch us, do not read us, do not hear us. And that is the dilemma in the Western world and in America specifically, in a nutshell. We hear and read and study under them, and they don't hear or read or study under us. Big, big problem. Maybe insurmountable. That's why it's important to get these ideas out to other people. Let them react. Let them even differ. That's fine. I have no problem with that. I was thinking about good and evil. I've been obsessed with good and evil all of my life, since I was a child. I hate evil. I really do. People doing bad things to people who don't deserve it. It bothers me. It's always bothered me. So I have been preoccupied with that and with good, because good is pretty rare. I haven't figured out which is rarer, great good or great evil. I think great good is rarer than great evil. It's not meant to depress you. It's just, that's what I think. Anyway, I was thinking about that and I wrote my column on this subject. I was thinking about if a horrible regime took over America, and let's say it was a Hitlerian type regime targeting Jews like Nazi Germany did. So I asked the question, who would hide a Jew? And it could be any group. It could be who would hide a landowner in communist China. They were targeted for murder. Or in fact, landowners in most communist countries were targeted for murder. Cambodia, China, Soviet Union. So there are people during World War II who did hide a Jew, risking their lives when they did it, non-Jews who did that. And I have been preoccupied with them in particular because goodness, as I said, great goodness is rarer than great evil. So what type of person would risk their lives to hide someone they didn't know and who obviously was not a member of their group? Religious, ethnic, national, whatever it might be. So there are not many books on this subject. There are thousands of books on the Nazis, and there are maybe a dozen or 20 books on those who rescued Jews, which is ridiculous because we have to study good if we're going to make a better world. But we don't study good. And you know why? Because people think that good is normal and evil is the aberration. A terribly naive belief. Good is often the aberration and evil is the norm. So it led me to remember something I wrote about 25 years ago. About 25 years ago, I interviewed two professors, Sam and Pearl Oliner, O-L-I-N-E-R, at Cal State, California State University at Humboldt. These people wrote a very widely, highly regarded book on altruism. Altruism is service to others, on basically goodness. And specifically, the book is about those who rescued Jews at the risk of their lives during World War II. They were particularly interested in it because they were both Jews. I think it's were. In the sense that I don't know if they're still with us, and I feel bad saying that, because if they are, I feel terrible, but I haven't been in contact with them in decades, and they were older than I. Oh, hello, Snoopy. How you doing? By the way, before I continue with the Oliners, I got to mention Otto. Mm-hmm. So Otto had surgery this past weekend, and you're not obligated to send a get well card because his reading skills are minimal. But I will tell you, somebody, unbeknownst to them, they did not know he was going to go for surgery, did a beautiful painting of Otto. But I don't know who you are to thank you. I wanted to send a thank you note. I have the name Siri in the bottom, S-E-R-I-E. But anyway, thank you very, very much. Beautiful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Good job. Okay. So back to the Oliners. So these people, they themselves, these two professors, husband and wife, they had been rescued. They had been hidden by Polish Catholics in Poland. They are secular. They are not religious. That's important because I asked them the following question. It's in my column on who would hide a Jew if Nazis took over America. So I asked Sam Oliner, knowing all you know now about who rescued Jews during the Holocaust, if you had to return as a Jew to Poland and you could knock on the door of only one person in the hope that they would rescue you, would you knock on the door of a Polish lawyer, a Polish doctor, a Polish artist, or a Polish priest? Remember, these are two irreligious people, the Oliners. Without hesitation, he responded, a Polish priest. And his wife immediately added, I would prefer a Polish nun. Now, that's a very interesting thing. Two secular scholars, if they could knock on the door of anyone, a professor, a lawyer, a doctor, an artist, or a clergyman, in this case, Catholic priest, whose door would they knock on? It's a very interesting question for you to think about. Whose door would you knock on? I would do the same thing. I would have knocked on a Polish priest's door. In America, I would knock on an evangelical. Poland's a Polish country, so I'll use America's Protestant country. I would knock on the door of a evangelical clergyman before I would a professor of sociology at Harvard. Ask any of your Jewish friends, whose door would you knock on? And give them the list. And include an evangelical minister. See what their answer is. Secular professor, secular doctor, secular artist, or evangelical, even evangelical Christian layman. Doesn't have to be a clergyman. Ask them whose door they would knock on if they needed to be rescued and they could only knock on one door. This is one of my many, many arguments that the West is dying. America's faster than most, along with Canada, Australia, New Zealand. Dying. Really, as a civilization as we know it, its freedoms are dying, and it is all because of the death of Judeo-Christian religions in this country. Many of you who went to college, you were taught that religion is nonsense. God is nonsense. But you were taught this by very foolish and naive people. I asked many of the atheists that I have debated, imagine you were driving a car in a city that you knew nothing about. In other words, you were visiting a city, you had a rental car, let's say, you were driving it at midnight, car broke down, and all of a sudden you saw 10 men walking toward you. Would you or would you not be relieved to know that they had just attended a Bible class? Okay? People who tell you religion doesn't matter are lying to you because they lied to themselves. Answer that question. Would you or would you not be relieved to know they had just attended a Bible class? Every single person in this country would be relieved. If they deny it, they're lying. And it's very rare that I accuse people of outright lying. Of course they would. By the way, another name that eludes me. Names is my Achilles heel. Another great, he has passed away. He died of cancer. He was another very major atheist. Christopher Hitchens, that's who it was. Very prominent writer. He debated me on my radio show. We did it publicly. And he wrote in his autobiography, he was apparently quite moved by my question because he developed a whole answer to it, but he changed my question in his autobiography. He changed it to prayer meeting from Bible study. I don't believe he did it intentionally to lie. He just, that's the way he remembered it. But I never have asked it as a prayer meeting. Prayer meeting could be any religion. Bible study has to be a religion based on the Bible. So either Jewish or Christian, or some variation on Christianity. So I specifically say Bible study, but he changed it to prayer meeting. And so he said, well, if I were a Jew and I were walking with 10 Muslim fundamentalists that had just been at a prayer meeting, I would be scared. But I didn't ask that. I said Bible study. I didn't say prayer meeting. Don't fool yourselves that we're going to pay no price for the death of religion in America. Don't fool yourselves. We already are. We are losing freedom as we have never lost it in America. There is more censorship of ideas. There is more cancellation of people. There's more suppression of free speech than at any time in the history of the United States of America, including the Civil War. And it's no coincidence that America is more secular and fewer people go to church and fewer people are religious than ever before in American history. Whether you believe in God or not is of no great interest to me. Whether you understand the consequences of the death of religion and God, that's entirely of consequence to me. And that's the major theme of my life. You better understand what happens when God dies. Humans follow shortly thereafter. And freedom goes first. Okie doke. Let's take question time. First, a video question. Okay, here we go.
Hi, I'm Berlin, and I live in California, and I love Otto so much, and I was curious what your favorite thing about Otto is.
Well, there are a few things I want to say about that. First of all, it cracks me up in a nice way that you love Otto. I have a theory, but I'm not sure it's accurate. More women love their dog than men. Like, so I really have affection for Otto, but it's hard for me to say I love him. Whereas my wife will frequently get on the floor, give him a kiss, and tell him that she loves him. Now, can you imagine me doing that? Or Nathan? Nathan is shaking his head vociferously, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Same with Snoopy. I'm not joking. I really enjoy them. I like them. I have affection. It's hard for me to say I love them.
Now that's very controversial that you're saying.
I know it's controversial, and I'm sure it bothers some of you, but it shouldn't. I treat them lovingly. That's all that should matter. I'm just talking about feelings now, not behavior. I treat them very lovingly. As I point out, there are more dog beds in this house than human beds. But I can only say that I'm okay with it. I'm not the purchaser of them. To be perfectly candid. Anyway, I know it's controversial, but it's so bizarre that we live in an age where that's controversial. What, there are no male-female differences? I get, you know, people have been so horribly affected by the nonsense of the educational system. I think that's one of them. I know that there are men who love their dog. I recognize that. But it's, by the way, it's an interesting question. Do married men love their dogs as much as single men do? Just a thought. You know, a guy's living alone and his only companion is his dog. I get it. I'd probably love my dog too in that case, but I love my wife. Anyway, I'm a human lover. So just for the record, it doesn't preclude loving animals, but I enjoy animals and I take care of them and I'm very adamant about treating them well. I have not eaten veal all of my life because I learned how veal are raised and made, and I will not eat them. So I'm very concerned about animals. But anyway, I'm only reacting to you, Berlin, that you, who never met Otto other than through the fireside chat, say you love Otto, which is very sweet. My wife had completely understand. What is my favorite thing about Otto, you're asking? He is so easygoing. That's my favorite thing. Otto's motto is, what, me worry? There's a famous old thing from Mad Magazine, Alfred E. Newman. Look it up. It's fun. You know it, Nathan? You know Mad Magazine and Alfred E. Newman?
Yeah.
I'm very touched. I didn't miss an issue of Mad Magazine in high school. It's cracked me up. Anyway, that's my favorite thing about Otto, is how easygoing he is. Snoopy, on the other hand, is not easygoing. Snoopy is a basset hound and is therefore somewhat neurotic, which is fine. It's very lovable and equally lovable. Just they have different lovabilities. Okey-doke. Rohin, 15 years old, Irving, Texas. How do we overcome temporary desires and pursue what we truly want? How do we stay balanced and not too encapsulated with social media politics? Those are two entirely separate questions. First, how do you overcome temporary desires and pursue what you truly want? First, you have to figure out what it is you truly want. A lot of people don't realize it. And they do let temporary things get in their way. You know, you truly want to be healthy, you should work out. Now, I may not look like I work out, but believe it or not, I do pretty avidly. And it's part of the reason that, plus I admit luck, I'm very, very healthy and filled with the same energy I had in my 20s. But I know what I want and I pursue that. Try not to let what I want temporarily get in the way. So you're already there because you have made a distinction between what you want temporarily and what you want in the long run. So that's a big deal, that you know the difference between the two. It's like I write in my book on happiness. Are we having trouble with Snoopy? He won't leave the room. Snoopy, so why don't you take a rest? We have three beds for you here. Is Snoopy making an appearance? No, he's right next to Nathan. Okay, be that as it may. How was Otto? Was he getting up? A lot of action here on the dog's part, folks. This is both the joy and the price paid from doing the fireside chat at home. In a regular studio, we would not have this issue. I fully acknowledge. So I write in my book on happiness, the difference between fun and happiness. It's worth your reading. It's changed a lot of lives, the book on happiness. It's called Happiness is a Serious Problem, and that's a big difference. Chad, 35, Ellensburg, Washington. Dennis, I have recently gotten into cigars. Let me tell you, probably the most relaxing endeavor I have found since being diagnosed with PTSD from the Marine Corps. Wow. I will not smoke marijuana or other drugs. God bless you. Thank you for sparking my interest in this area. What would be your most suggested cigar to try? Well, first of all, that's the beauty of cigars. They're infinitely safer than cigarettes because they're not inhaled, whereas cigarettes are. That's the key difference. And they're delicious and they're relaxing. When I have a cigar with either of my sons, and we it's a great talk that we have. It's a great bonding experience. I go to cigar lounges all over the country, and inevitably people know who I am at the cigar lounge and, you know, take a selfie with me. And if no one knows who I am, it's just as good because I love talking to strangers. But it's a terrific thing to try, and I do recommend it. I don't have a cigar to recommend to you because I have no idea what you like. Basically, they're divided between mild, medium, and strong. I happen to love strong, therefore I love Nicaraguan generally. The darker the wrapper, the stronger the cigar. You should try it all. Half the fun is trying them out and seeing what you'll like. Sarah, 20, Anacortes, Washington. Hello, Dennis, Snoopy, and crew. You hear that, crew? I'm a college student at a pretty liberal college. Liberal college is redundant. And I grew up in a liberal, by the way, it's not really. I wish they were liberal. They're leftist. Liberal's fine. Leftist is damaging. Because of all the hate conservatives get, I became really good at censoring myself. Yep. That's right. You and tens of millions of others. However, I know that this is not the right response, and I am trying to become braver. 20-year-old, good, to your credit. However, I discovered that self-censoring is so ingrained in me that it is really difficult for me to tell someone I don't know very well that I am a conservative. What advice do you have for me and people like myself? Thank you for everything you do. So here is my advice. The sooner you come out of the closet, the happier you will be in life, the better you will sleep at night. I know this from all the people who have followed this advice. But you must know that when you do come out of the closet as a conservative, you will suffer. There is no question you will suffer. As the young woman who sat in for me, Julie Hartman, Julie tells the story of how PragerU and I touched her life deeply, influenced her philosophically, morally, politically. And then she debated, would she, as it were, come out? And so she came on my radio show, which is about as big a stepping out of the closet as you can get. And she then told me later she had 2 weeks of hell. That's how she described it, where she actually lost some friends. You went on Dennis Prager's show. Are you a conservative? What's happened to you? So she tells the story about losing friends and being just attacked on the internet, Facebook, etc. And then she said, after the 2 weeks of hell, I sort of went into heaven. Why? I asked. Well, first of all, so many good people came into my life that I never knew. That's a big reward. When you come out of the closet as a conservative, then people know who you are. So the people who hate you for being that will attack you. But a lot of people will love you for being that. And then you'll have genuine friends. People who not only like your personality, but like your values. So that's one huge advantage of coming out of the closet. Another one is, and she said it to me just recently, I sleep really well at night. When you have to hide who you are, you don't sleep well at night. You sleep, the more inner peace you have, the better you sleep at night. That's true of about all of life, not just politics. So I strongly recommend that you do so, especially at your age. It's not like you already have a job and have to feed a family and are afraid of losing your job because you voted the wrong way, let's say. Jackie, 35, Sun City, Arizona. Not a question, but please let Mr. Prager know his impact. I'll let him know. After watching Fireside Chats, listening to his podcasts, and reading his books, Mr. Prager convinced me to go back to church in April 2021. That is so beautiful for me to hear. By the way, I contend, I don't know if there is one Christian who has brought as many people back to church as I have. And I'm a religious Jew. And I'm thrilled about it, by the way. As you heard from the beginning, the death of Christianity is the death of our civilization. So I'm very touched. Guy in Prague, Czech Republic, when I was there last month lecturing, came over to me after the talk. He was about 25 years old. And in front of his group, he said, I just want you to know, Ben Shapiro brought me to conservatism and you brought me to God. Did I tell this story? And it's worth it anyway. And I said to him, well, just let everybody know it was two Jews who did that. And everybody cracked up. But that's very touching. So my husband and I have been trying to have a baby for a few years, and as of today, we are 16 weeks pregnant. I'm so happy for you. The love and gratitude I have for him is indescribable. Thank you for bringing me back to God. Without you, I honestly do not think we would have gotten pregnant. That's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That may well be. You have to be somewhat relaxed and at peace. It's much easier to get pregnant that way. That's why, you know how many women get pregnant? They try for years, nothing happens, they adopt a child, and then a month later she gets pregnant because she's at peace. You have changed our lives for the better. God bless and thank you. That's all I want to do is change people's lives for the better. As corny as it sounds, that's who I am. We're at 30, I'll bet?
Yeah, just under.
Yes. So, okay, everybody. Don't forget, watch Fireside Chats. Send them. This is a good example. Here's a good way to, you don't even have to say anything. Just say, you know, folks, I'd like you to see this Fireside Chat. That's it. Just put that up on your Facebook page or this article or whatever it might be. But you're not going to have a happier life inside a closet. That I can promise. I'll see you next week. I'm Dennis Prager. That was Otto. Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.